Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it. Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. Thank you again so much for joining us this week. Today, just wanted to share some thoughts with you guys. I'm not sure how many of you guys are familiar with this great leadership author. His name is Patrick Lencioni. You know, as we talk about faith, ministry, and leadership, and how unity can work amongst all these different things, there's some great leadership books out there, great leadership authors, writings, some different research that I'll share with you guys from time to time. But today I want to start with one of my favorites. His name is Patrick Lencioni, probably one of the best books of his. They're all good, but one of the best that, or I should say one of my favorite. I shouldn't say one of the best. One of my favorite is The Ideal Team Player. And you can probably imagine why, as we're talking about unity, right? The Ideal Team Player. This is a book where he lays out in his great form, his customary form, where he'll write a fable, he'll write a story, a narrative, and then he's pulling out these leadership principles throughout the whole thing, and then he sums it up in the end for you. And so in that book, and The Ideal Team Player, he's talking about the different character traits of an ideal team player. And that one's a phenomenal one. Recommend it to anyone. But that's not the one we're going to talk about today. I feel a little bit like a little Kirk Whalum. He was on his Gospel According to Jazz album. Talking about, I love French. I've been trying to speak French for years. Moved over to Paris. But then I really wanted to learn Spanish. And so he goes talking about Spanish and writing a song in Spanish. But what I really wanted to focus in on today was a very fundamental piece to a lot of his organizational coaching and to what he teaches. And this is found, I want to remember what book it was in. I want to say it was The Five Dysfunctions. It's The Five Dysfunctions, I believe. And so in that, he's walking through this really reworking of an organization, and he lays out this triangle. And so if you can find this and The Advantage, if you're just somebody's like, don't give me a story, just give me all the goods laid out, that's his Advantage book. But then you have The Dysfunctions, and then you have that one that I just recommended that's kind of a side piece, is The Ideal Team Player. In The Five Dysfunctions, he brings up this triangle, and he says this is how you build up towards results in an organization. I'm not doing an Illuminati thing. Don't worry. It is actually a triangle in the book. So he builds up towards this idea of this is how we get the results that we want. But at that foundational level is this key word, trust. Trust. And you guys, this is so big when it comes to leadership within an organization, when it comes to ministries operating at their full capacity, when it comes to faith, which a lot of times is very synonymous with trust. You can just almost interchange those words. To have faith in God is to have trust in Him, right? And so this key word, trust, is really big as we're talking about unity and building towards unity and seeing the results of unity within an organization. And today we're going to take a look at what it looks like to start with trust. There's just these words that were kind of bouncing around in my mind. So I want to share this string of progression with you from trust and then also distrust. All right. And so with this Patrick Lencioni triangle that he holds up, I want to share these first three steps. To see the other two, you're going to have to go find his books. You could probably Google it, but I would recommend getting his books. It's trust, conflict, and then commitment. You have to have a foundation of trust. You have to allow for healthy conflict, and then you have to know how to engage in healthy conflict, and then there's a commitment. Now that we trust each other, we've engaged, we shared our opposing opinions, we've had conflict, we're going to commit to an action together, is the way that works. So within that, I was seriously just thinking about this idea of how vital trust is when it comes to us having unity within an organization, unity within a relationship, unity and trust in with our God as he calls us, you know, to be one with him and one with one another, how trust plays a role in these things. There is this progression that happens. You have trust, and then you can find submission, and then there is unity. Then we unify with trust, submission, then we can unify. And so the submission word, I know that can be a little triggering. So let's talk about it. All right. We have to get into this though, because this is big. So trust means that we are going not just in the aspect of this guy said he's going to bring my food at 3 o'clock and I trust that he's actually going to bring my food at 3 o'clock. But you're also, when we're talking about trust in these type of relationships, we're talking about trusting the person's heart, trusting their mind, trusting their intention, trusting them as an individual, right? Not just whether or not they can carry out their actions, but trusting that they care for you, trusting that they have the right heart and mind and intentions and what they're doing. So that's a big thing there. We have to have that if we're going to be able to work alongside others. We're going to be able to work with a leader and come into this place of submission, right? We have to have that trust. This is one of the reasons why when it comes to our faith, so many of us struggle with being on one accord with God. This is why so many of us struggle at times when it comes to our faith. We will struggle with trusting God, trusting his intentions, trusting his whole countenance, everything about him, and being able to submit when it doesn't go our way. And it's not what we think is best. When it goes against our own understanding, we have to be able to trust. And so it always comes back to this place of trust, aka faith, right, with him. And this is going to be the same when it comes in the organizations, because you're always going to come up against this unknown. You're always going to come up in places of where there's some type of vulnerability. And so you have to have trust in those that you're working with, which is why it's so big for us to build healthy relationships within our organizations, so big for us to build healthy relationship with other believers. How are we going to trust, be united, and work together if we don't know each other? If all we have to go on is that they say they're a believer, then it's hard, right? That it's really hard to have that type of unity that we're called to. We have to have the relationship where we can understand and trust who they are as a person, their heart and their mind as well. All right. So submission is going to come from this place of trust. And this is big. Submission is not something for you to be taken advantage of and be scared of. Submission is not something that an authoritarian leader just wants you to grit your teeth or, you know, quietly go along with him. Submission is a kingdom practice. I'm going to say that again. Submission is a kingdom practice. This is a practice of the kingdom. How do we know this? Well, even Jesus himself submitted to point of death on the cross. He practiced submission as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He himself, not wanting to take advantage and counting himself worthy to take advantage of his relationship with God, being equal with God, he set that aside and he humbled himself and submitted himself to the point of death on the cross. We see Jesus time and time again as he's walking this earth, regularly talking about how he is only doing what he sees the Father do. He is only saying what he hears the Father speak. He is submitting time and time again. And so if we truly want to be Christ followers, We cannot be afraid of submission. And I know, I don't know why I keep on hearing you guys talk to me over the airwaves or something, but I'm hearing somebody say right now, well, I'll submit to God just like Jesus submitted to God. See, now we're getting in to some concern that we have with not being able to trust and submit to other people. Now, remember that throughout the New Testament, we are not only encouraged to submit to God, but Paul, for example, says, submit to one another. He's not just talking about submitting just to Christ. He's also saying to submit to one another as believers. We're to submit to each other. Wives, you're supposed to submit to your husbands, right? And again, this, oh, that can feel so rough, right? That can come across in a way that where we almost want to push back against it. But we have to understand that submission comes from a place of trusting in this person, not from a place of this person is going to take advantage and lord over you. So we have trust, very foundational, and then we're able to move into this place of submission. And then from that, when we have a clear direction and we have submission from those going along with that leadership, then we have this unity that can be displayed. We have this unity come out. And again, I just want to dive into a little bit. That submission, that's not, you know, gritting your teeth and going along with, but talking to you negatively under your breath and saying he should have done it this way. I don't know. I told him the whole time it wasn't going to work. That's not submission. Submission in this is when you commit, you make that decision your own decision, and you say, I'm behind this. I'm with you, whether it goes right, whether it goes wrong, right? We're submitting. We're getting behind this. And so we're not pointing the finger. We're not talking negatively about it. We're not dragging our feet, but we're committing. We're going wholeheartedly towards it as well. And so there's this trust, submission, unity. When we're all in it, unity, one accord, our hearts are behind it together, then we have that unity. Now, I want to talk about how this looks when it starts with distrust. When it starts with distrust, you don't have submission following from that. What you have is subversion. You have people subverting things. They're whispering and spreading rumor and causing this dissent, you know, within the crowd from underneath. So if you start with distrust, we will never get to unity. And this is big because our culture within America, I'm noticing this more and more that it seems like we are bred and ingrained. We are taught from very young almost to distrust leaders. It's weird. Right? Like, for example, America, we were born from this revolution. Right. And from that point on, we have never trusted the government. We are told from the start to distrust. Right. And so we have this almost just embedded within us that we're going to be skeptical and distrust leadership. And so, again, this is one of the reasons why building relationship is a big thing, is really important. But then we also need to look at the fact that if we're choosing to say someone is our leader, someone is our pastor, someone is our supervisor, someone is whatever it may be, then you're saying that someone is your husband, someone is your captain, whatever it may be, that person, you need to decide to trust that person. If you can't trust that person, then you should not be following that person. You should not be saying that they're your captain, that they're your pastor, that they're your leader, whatever it may be, that they better not, you better not call them your husband, right? If you can't trust them, you better not say I do. So when we're looking at that, you can't start from a place of distrust, which unfortunately that's just put into us. But when you do, now we're subverting. Now, so often we're pushing back and we're resisting against, we're opposing from within. We're like a cancer is literally what it is. We're like a cancer. We're trying to go a different direction from inside this body, inside this organization. And that leads to, just like cancer does, it leads to that organization, to that function, that relationship degrading, spoiling, falling apart. So when we start with trust, we get submission, and then we get unity. If we start with distrust, we get this subversion inside, people subverting what's happening, and then it leads to this degrading of the organization. And there's one more walkthrough, because this is very similar, right? We went from trust to submission. And I know there's going to be this question. So we have to walk through this, because there's going to be this question of, but what if you can't submit? What if it's something that submitting to them would be disobeying God? That's a really good question, because nobody's perfect, right? But we should be able to start from this place of trust in our leadership. If we don't, we'll never reach unity. If we don't, we'll never reach the full potential of the organization. We will not get there if we start with distrust. So that's a heart check. We need to be able to start with trust. If you cannot trust the leadership, that is likely something you should not be a part of. That is something you should not be a part of if you can't trust the leadership. If you're like, man, but I really want to be a part of this, you know, maybe you've been there longer than the leaders have. Maybe they're coming in. Maybe they're new. You've been there longer than leaders have. You're like, I'm committed to this. I love this, right? This organization, whatever it may be. This is real easy to talk about with churches. This happens in churches all the time, right? So like, let's say you're part of this church. You've been at that church for 20 years. You've been there longer than this leader and the leader before them, right? And so now you have this leader coming in. You're like, I can't trust this guy. I can't trust them. Well, you have a decision to make, because you should not be part of an organization that you can't trust the leadership in. And so here comes this issue, right? You're not going to be able to get to that place of submission and to that place of unity that we're called to as believers if you can't trust. And so one of two things is likely to happen, right? Or I should say three things. One of three things. One, you be intentional about building that relationship and establishing trust. Not trust as in I'm going to get them to trust me so that they listen to me, but trust as in you're going to build relationship, come to know them so that you are able to trust their heart. You're able to trust their mind, their intentions, right? And so that you can trust this leader of yours. You are going to build that relationship. You're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And a lot of this comes from understanding, oh, we're in Revelations right now. Our church is reading Revelations. And a lot of this comes from understanding that God is in control. It's funny because we read things and we'll say things like God is the one who, you know, establishes leaders and whatnot. But then when the rubber meets the road and we don't like the leader, now we're starting to question everything. Now we're thinking the devil's the one running the playbook. But really, when we look at Revelations, for example, and look, these are some churches that are messed up, churches that are doing some stuff that's bad, right? But God says in the beginning, you see Jesus first, he's in the midst of the churches, right? He didn't just abandon the church. We have to trust that Jesus is at work, that he's in our midst. Secondly, Jesus is the one that's holding the stars, the angels, the leadership of that church. He's the one that's holding them. So This is saying that God is the one in control. He's the one that places in. We see this throughout scripture. John the Baptist said something similar. Jesus said something similar. When they're talking about authority is given from heaven, that place of leadership is given from heaven, right? And so we have to trust that if they're there in that position, well, then God's doing a work. And so even while we are working on building our trust with that person or deciding whether or not we can trust that person, we have to be able to trust the God who's in control, who's the one that establishes the leaders and has them in his hand. All right? We have to be able to trust that. And so maybe during this time, you're like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, but I'm not feeling comfortable with this guy. So we're going to build some relationship. We're going to establish some trust. If we don't get there and we just start with distrust, then we're never going to reach that unity. But let's say this. Let's say you're working on that, right? Let's say you actually end up developing that trust. And let's say there comes a point where you think to follow this person is to no longer follow God. To follow this person is no, that if I submit to this thing he's asking me to do or telling me to do, then I'm being disobedient to God. And some we need to be able to decipher too, because sometimes leaders will make a mistake, right? And it's not like, you know, they gave you one thing that you were supposed to do or that they wanted you to do, and you're like, I can't do that. And now all of a sudden, everything that they've ever done was against God. That's not how it works, all right? not everything that they're ever going to do from that point forward is against God because of that one thing. Sometimes it's just an instance, all right? But maybe perhaps you're thinking, okay, I don't feel like I can go along with this person, right? Then, or I can't go along with this action, I should say. I can't go along with this action, but you've developed this trust. Now we're at a place of you have to decide whether or not you're going to be obedient and submit, or you're going to be disobedient. And I know this may be a curveball, but I'm going to encourage that you know how to practice disobedience. There is a way to practice disobedience. You can start from a place of trust. You can get into healthy conflict, sharing opposing opinions, and actually practice a healthy disobedience. And you know what that does? Sometimes that healthy disobedience, when we go from trust to a healthy disobedience, this is healthy disobedience. It's not, I'm going to run out here and I'm going to get everyone on my side, and or I'm going to go and I'm going to start subverting, right? And talking and causing this dissension. No, but being able to say, I can't get behind this, and being able to step away quietly, being able to come to that leader and say, you know, I love what we're doing. I just can't do this. I just can't do this. Right. I remember having that type of conversation with one of my really good friends, pastor of mine. Me and him were talking. He was sharing about his heart for ministry, and my heart was there too. And I was saying, man, I love this. We love everything about it. And I could literally tell you, God told me to be a part of this ministry. Right. And I have absolute confidence in saying that. Literally, he wrote it in lights. All right. I'll tell you the story. He literally wrote it in lights. You know, you're talking about God, give me a sign. Boom. Right there. There was a sign. And and so I know I was confident that God wanted me to be part of this. But my friend was asking me to take a move, to actually literally move somewhere, and could not have peace about it. And I felt like I would be in disobedience to God if I did that. So you can understand this conflict, right? Where it's, okay, God saying to be part of this ministry, to get behind it, give your support, right? God said, this is my next step for you, is this ministry, right? And then the leader of that ministry, my friend, says, okay, I need you to move out here. And then God's like, no, 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 no. Don't do that, right? Not giving any peace about that. I'm getting the understanding I need to stay where I'm at. So I had to have that conversation with my friend. And I literally had to tell him, we love this church. We love this ministry. We want to support and be part of it however we can, but we cannot leave Idaho. That's where we were, where we are, right? That's where we can't leave Idaho. We have to stay here. We have no peace about leaving here, but however we can, we want to be a part of it from right here. We want to help. We want to support. We know that we want to be part of this, that God wants us to be part of this, right? And so we had to have that conversation. And then we hung up saying, we don't know what we're going to do. Well, we just didn't know what we were going to do moving forward from there. And God worked it out. God worked it out. but to where we were able to be part of the ministry, yet remain where we were, right? But I had to have that moment of disobedience. I had to have that healthy conflict with him. And sometimes you're going to have healthy conflict. And sometimes that means that disobedience, sometimes that means that we talk it out. I can't get behind where this is going. I can't get behind what you're doing. And so I'm going to remove myself. That's a big deal, especially if you're the one that's been at the church and this organization or whatever it may be for 20 years. And here comes this new guy, right? Because you may feel so attached. But if we're working from a place of trusting God is putting people in place, right? Trusting God is the one in control. Trusting Jesus is the one holding the stars in his hands, not us. We're not the one controlling that. We're not the one that should be moving that around, but that Jesus is. Then we have to trust, okay, God has him here, even if it's only for a moment, right? God has him here. So either I have to be obedient and go along, or I need to choose to be and have practiced this healthy disobedience and step away. And I have to trust that God's going to do his thing, and that this leader he set in place, that his heart and his intention is well, and that things are going to go well, but it's just not for me. It's not something that I can get behind. Maybe it's for someone else, right? And so I'm going to step aside and practice some healthy disobedience, right? And just move aside. And God will work that out. He absolutely will work that out. You may not know. If that wasn't God's plan and God's like, okay, maybe I just need you there for a week and then you got to go or something like that, then you can be right back at it, you know, and that they can leave. You can come right back, right, and check it out again. But it's one of those things to where you need to be able to say, okay, I'm going to trust. I have to work from this place of trust that God is in control. He's the one setting it up. Trusting from this place of this person's heart and mind, their intentions is in the right place. They're trying to serve God in the way that God is leading them. And if I can't go along with that, I need to step aside, whether it's for this action or step aside from the organization altogether. And that will lead to, get this, sanctification. Sometimes we start from trust, and rather than submission, we go to a healthy disobedience, and that goes to sanctification. That goes to something being molded and shaped, and sometimes that is a difficult and tough situation. It's that kind of like that iron sharpening iron. It's God breaking down the clay, right, and reforming it. And sometimes that leads to God moving this organization or moving these people, maybe moving you, right? Maybe he's going to move you to a place further along in your sanctification, your relationship with him, or that organization further along in its sanctification and its relationship with him. But that has to start from a place of trust. Trust into healthy disobedience, and then we have this sanctification. And it's funny, so often that sanctification has to come from this place of healthy disobedience. And I want you to think about this, because it's funny if you look back on a lot of different situations and what's the word am I looking for? A lot of different movements, reformations. That's a big word, right? A lot of different reforming, a lot of different things that have happened throughout history that have caused big changes, revolutions, you know, upheaval. A lot of this comes from disobedience. And people practicing a healthy disobedience. For example, I referenced the American Revolution, right? And that was an act of disobedience, right? And what's interesting is that, you know, today, one of America's greatest and strongest allies is the country that we broke away from, that we had the Revolutionary War with and the War of 1812, right? So there was there was some healthy things that were going on, and it went about in a healthy way in that we didn't just jump straight to subverting and trying to push aside, but there was actually pleas, and it got to a place of where we had to say, okay, no, we're stepping away from your leadership, right? And there was this disobedience, but then it brought on a lot of good fruit from that, right? There was a sanctification that happened through that process. And that may not even be the best example. That's just the first one that came to my mind. Let me think of another one really quick. We're talking about disobedience. Oh, man, what's something that we can think of? How about Jesus? What? I know, right? Jesus? Think about this. The leadership within Israel at the time was completely opposed to Jesus. He could have submitted, quietly went along, and conformed to what he wanted them to do, but he didn't. He did not, right? But he was trusting in the higher one, right? And then when they had to do what they had to do, Jesus continued on his path and being faithful towards God. He practiced this disobedience, which, come on now, that led to the conquering of death and the grave. And hell, death, and the grave, right? And then he ended up sanctifying for himself a people, a nation, a royal priesthood, a kingdom of believers, right? And so we have at times where this trust goes to disobedience and then sanctification. Sometimes we have to be disobedient towards leadership, trusting that things will change around. Martin Luther, disobedience, right? Towards the Pope, trusting for things to change around. And it's funny the way that went, because it didn't go the way he wanted it to go. Other people got their hands in there and it got real crazy. But even that, and that ended up pushing further reform for the Catholic Church in the future, right? They had to take a step back after so much had happened and realize, okay, we need to reform, right? And so it's interesting. You have this trust, disobedience, sanctification. If you start from distrust in that, well, then rather than on the first one, we said there's submission, and the other one is subverting. It's kind of like you're going to quietly go act like you're going along. You're going to stay in the middle of things, but you're going to talk negatively and sow discord from within. Well, this second one we're talking about, if we can't even pretend to go along, right? So we can't go along with this. Well, then you have either disobedience, a healthy disobedience, or you can combat. You can combat, you can fight, you can oppose, you can yell it from the rooftops, you can start passing around the petition, right? You can literally try to fight and combat. That starts from a place of distrust. And we know, again, that's not gonna go the way that we're hoping. We're trying to get to sanctification. We're thinking we need a clean house, right? We need to get this guy out of here. We need to change this up. But sanctification comes from a healthy practice of disobedience, a godly practice of disobedience, not combating. Combating comes from distrust. So we go distrust, And then instead of practicing a healthy disobedience because we're in trust, we're going to combat. We're going to try to take it into our hands. We're going to make something happen. And then that leads to division. So you have trust, which leads to submission and unity, or trust, which leads to disobedience and sanctification. And in that process, so often, if there's that disobedience and sanctification, that means things are getting pruned, things may be getting cut off, but that also means that seed may be getting scattered, and it means that there could be a multiplication there. It's almost like a healthy cell when it divides, and then it becomes two healthy cells rather than a healthy cell that gets infected with subversion and it becomes cancerous and starts to spread. We want that healthy trust, disobedience, sanctification, or trust, submission, unity, rather than distrust, subversion, and things degrading, that organization falling apart, those relationships falling apart, or distrust, combating, and then a complete all-out division, disunity, split, divide. We don't want that. So this is the challenge. Can we start from a place of trust? If you are in a position where you don't feel like you can trust, you have a decision to make. One, you need to ask yourself if you can trust God. And I know we may be quick because we know what the right answer is supposed to be. But I want us to think about it. Can we trust God with this situation? Have I been trusting God with this situation? Do we trust God? Can we trust that? And then can we trust this leader? If not, you have a decision to make. Are you going to intentionally try to build that trust? Not build trust as in them trying to get them to trust you, but are you going to try to get yourself to trust them? Are you going to build that trust, get to know them, and build that trust? Or do you need to choose to step away? Because you've tried, you feel like I've put in the effort, but I can't go along with this. This isn't coming from a place of distrust. This is just a place of, I trust what God is doing. I trust their heart and their mind as well. But I can't go along with this. Okay, now we're at that place of, we need to practice the healthy disobedience. And that's all right. That's all right. But if you are working from a place of distrust, that needs to change. That right there absolutely needs to change, because the only things that are going to come from that is an organization breaking down or dividing. It's going to be a cancer from within, and it's going to degrade it slowly, or it's going to cause an all-out division and split. So can we start from that place of trust? Again, highly recommend that book from Patrick Lencioni. You have The Advantage. You have The Five Dysfunctions. He has lots of different books out there. I may even, when I say Five Dysfunctions, I may be giving you the wrong one. I don't know. I've read quite a few of his books. I wish I could say I read all of them. I've read most of them, and sometimes I'm getting stuff mixed up. So check out those books. But also, I want you to think on this. I want you to think about this and do this one. Like, share, subscribe. I was going to slide that in there. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. All right. We want to make sure that we continue having conversations like this and be part of the conversation. I really mean that. I want to hear from you. We need to see some. We need to get your comments. We need to get your likes. Shoot me an email, DM me, whatever it may be. But be part of the conversation. This is to have that conversation about how are we going to strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We can practice these things, but we also need to talk about them. So be part of that conversation. Comment, like, share, subscribe, do us a favor. If you feel like you can get behind this, you can get behind us strengthening unity in the body of Christ, us having these moments of coaching about unity within the body of Christ and being able to give towards efforts that practice unity, then I want you to practice giving, being part of that, become a financial partner. And you can do as little as a couple dollars a month. You know, fill it out. Make sure your conscience isn't being struck by dropping those $2 or your pocketbook's not falling out from under you. But you can give as little as a couple dollars a month. And then we also have some different levels of givers where you can go up to be a wave maker at $40 a month, or you can be all in at $100 a month. And every single dollar goes a long way towards helping us to continue to coach and give towards unity within the body of Christ. So partner with us, strengthen unity in Christ with us. We look forward to seeing you back next week in the In Hope Podcast. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope Podcast.